A reading from the second letter of Paul to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you, through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed, then, of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God, who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And for this reason I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit, living in us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. 2 Timothy is an epistle. It is a letter. And it is written as if it was from Paul to Timothy. Now, a lot of scholars today say that it probably wasn't written by Paul because it's a very different, and it's even got a little bit different theology in it. But that's not uncommon. It was not uncommon at all, ever, to write in the name of someone that you followed, who was your mentor. And it certainly doesn't negate the message of the letter. The writer of the letter tells the reader that he or she, I'll say that just in case, worships with a clear conscience just as his ancestors did. And then the writer says, I know you are a person of faith because I knew your mama and I knew your grandma. And so I know you. And that's interesting. I knew Lois and I know Eunice. And so I know that you, too, must be a person of faith. I wonder how many people here received their faith upbringing from their mama or their grandma or their father, someone who passed it on to them. Right, Joel? Yes. Joel's mama is a bishop. He cannot hide from his faith. When I was growing up, and I think probably some of you who are my age and right around in there probably grew up in a world where there were three kinds of religious people. There were Protestants and Catholics. And if you happen to live in a big city, you might even actually know a Jewish person, right? But a lot of people grew up with an inherited faith, Protestants and Catholics, especially in this country. And families were the keeper of faith. You inherited it. It was passed on to you without question, mostly. You know, I mean, have you friends who say, I'm a cradle-to-grave Methodist. I'm a cradle-to-grave Episcopalian. You know, so You got it when you were a kid. It didn't get questioned. Your parents said, get up, we're going. Not, do you think we should go to church this Sunday or do something else? That never was spoken in my home. Now, my maternal grandmother's name was Genevieve. She went by Jenny Lee, Jenny Lee Christopher. She was a Southern Baptist in West Virginia. Now, I was growing up in Cleveland in the United Church of Christ. Very different, right? And during the summers, I would go to the Southern Baptist Church in West Virginia, where their preacher did a lot of sweating, a lot of screaming, waved that Bible at us, never left his hand, and he even did a little bit of spitting, if I remember correctly. But she loved it, and I went with her, and it was a completely different experience than what I was used to. Now, one time they came to visit my grandfather and my grandmother to Cleveland, and my grandfather was sitting in our big reclining chair. He had it back, and my grandmother said to me, look at your grandfather. And I did, and she said, do you see something new? Do you see something different? I said, no. She said, look at Pawpaw. That was what he was, Pawpaw. Look at Pawpaw's eyes. I got down and looked at Pawpaw's eyes. I said, no. And she said, look at him closely. So I'm leaning over, looking at my grandfather's eyes. And so, you know, I'm 13. I said, did you get contacts? And she goes, no, he was saved. She was just appalled at me at my 13 years old that I could not see that in his eyes. He, of course, was laying there as this sort of passive person, like stuck between these two strong-willed women, just smiling at me like, guess something pretty soon. This is not good. I grew up in a church that didn't talk about salvation a lot. I mean, it was in the scriptures, but I grew up in a church also where you didn't kind of look to see if somebody was different. You didn't look for sort of an outward sign that they belonged to the Christian faith. In fact, I grew up in a church where everybody always belonged to God. And so my grandmother and I didn't always share the exact same language. And our churches were very different, and yet we both followed the same Jesus Christ. The letter to Timothy, this letter, is about church. And it's also about standards and what it means to be committed to the gospel of Christ. And the writer is explaining what you need to do. The writer is saying, first of all, you need to be like your mama and your grandma. And that's a good start, because I too am faithful like my ancestors were faithful. Now, I know that through the years, and I know this from many of you, that even though you may have inherited a certain faith, you may have a different faith now. You might have a different denomination. And that a lot of you have come back to church when you've had children, because you think, well, there's something there. I've got to take them back. There's something I want them to learn there that I learned. And so you come back to church. And the thing is that when we get back, and some of us stray off, make decisions that we're not going to take the faith we inherited from our parents. We're going to do a little investigation. But even then, when we get back, we become conflicted, don't we, sometimes, about what it means to be church now, what it means to be a Christian now, what is it that I believe, what is different than what my parents believe. Sometimes we just have to struggle with one another about what it means to even be here. And many of us start all over again trying to figure out as an adult what it means to follow Christ. Now, I know some of you grew up in this church. Betty Lambert grew up in this church. She didn't ever feel a need to go searching for anything. This was home, and it's home for many people who have been here for 50, 60, 70 years. It may have changed a little bit over the years. This church used to have 1,600 members back in a time like when I was growing up, where it wasn't negotiated. We all went to church. But for the most part, it remains the same. The traditions are similar. The songs are similar. It is not all that different. But I understand that struggle with what does it mean today to be a Christian. I have to tell you, I'm often in conflict with my own church. I don't agree with some of its positions. And sometimes I get so frustrated and even angry to the core when I hear our brothers and sisters in faith excluding people or talking about hate or declaring that somehow they have a special, unique message from God that tells them that it's okay to do what they are doing. And yet, in the Christian faith, all around the world today, people are taking communion together, acknowledging that we are one body, that we are united in Christ. And every single one of these churches, ours included, would claim that they understand what the standards are supposed to be. This text tells us that we're supposed to hold to sound teachings, uphold the standards of our tradition. Traditions that should not be changed, some would tell us. So you could ask any Christian sitting right now in my grandmother's little church in West Virginia, or someplace in Kenya, or someplace else in the world, in Korea, where the church is growing faster than anywhere else in the world. And they would tell you that they are the standard bearers in how they follow Christ. And yet, here we are in our unity, still in our diversity, and sometimes in our disagreement. Now, 2 Timothy here says to the congregation, God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. And we should not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us. The letter says, do not be a coward about your faith. Have a spirit of power and love and self-discipline. Do not be ashamed of your testimony about Jesus, the letter says, and hold to sound teachings. Hold them as if they were a treasure, and let the Holy Spirit help you with all of this. Today we struggle, as we always do, with the purpose of the church in the world. We struggle with some of our history, what has been done badly, and sometimes what is still being done in the name of Christ. Someone is trying sometimes to get me to say things a certain way and believe a certain way to show that I belong. I have many people of faith in my family who will say, but you do not say the things that we say, Betty Jo. And they will question whether or not I am really committed to Christ. And I know that we all do that to one another. Sometimes people in the church and throughout our history do unholy things in the name of God. And too often we hold up Christ as if that is an award that we have won, rather than through humility saying, I have found something that is transforming my life. Can I tell you about that? But I wonder sometimes about what it does mean to be a standard bearer. Sometimes those of us in the mainline churches will do just the opposite of what we think other Christians should not do. And I have to claim this myself. Someone says, I share my faith at work. We say, oh, well, no. That's not appropriate. I do this. Oh, I could never do that. I knock on doors. I would never knock on a door. And sometimes I wonder about who we are as our brothers and sisters with no cowardice, because we have a story to tell, don't we? It's maybe a little bit different. It may be more inclusive. It may say that we really uphold Jesus' tolerance of people, Jesus' love of the one who was on the outside, but are we telling anybody the story that we have to tell? Too often we don't say anything about our faith. And I understand. If I tell people I'm a minister, they look like they're going to run like crazy the other way. It's like they're afraid that some scripture is going to come out any second, and I'm going to say, have you given your life to Jesus Christ? And they do not want me to corner them, and I don't. But are there ways, not just to live out faith, but to be a standard bearer right now? Are there ways to hold the light of Christ and to offer that, to not be ashamed of the words of our God? In our lectionary group this week, somebody pointed out that standards are never new. Standards stand for broader ideals. And the scripture says, hold to sound teachings. And it was brought up that that sounds kind of institutional. Hold to sound teachings. That it didn't sound prophetic. Keep the status quo is what one of the people heard in our group. But we can't find what evangelism means to us when we are so worried that we will offend. This is our dilemma. We do not stand on corners, but we also pass up many opportunities to say that the reason that I'm inclusive is because of Christ. The reason that I don't want others persecuted in other faiths is because of my belief in Christ. The standard bearers. Jesus was a standard bearer. But it was because he took a stand in his own faith. He was brave. He loved his faith. He knew his faith. He studied his faith. He was courageous beyond any words. But he also said to the standard bearers, we need to rethink this. There's too many on the outside. So what does it mean to be a standard bearer today? It means to take a stand that Jesus Christ is our way of knowing what we should do. Not the people on TV, not the Pope, not Franklin Graham, not John Wesley even. Jesus Christ. We go back to the teachings and we discern and pray and struggle individually and as a church about what it means to share that life that we have in Him with others. He loved his faith. He studied his faith. He challenged his faith. I read when I was doing my reading for this week that we need to think about the fact that even though the church is not perfect, that it holds an important place in the work that it does in the world, and that we are always just one generation away from extinction. That if we do not teach our children, if we do not pass on our faith like our grandmas and our mamas did, that the next generation won't understand the purpose of how the church serves the world. That this is where we learn to praise and to forgive and to give. This is where we learn humility and mercy and compassion, and we learn justice. This is where we come together to hear God's word for our lives. And then we're called to go out into the world and to find a way that's comfortable for us and maybe a little uncomfortable for us, to share that with someone else. Those children that died, someone did not say to them, God loves you just the way you are. No one told them that. We are the standard bearers for what God teaches us to take it out into the world. May we be courageous. May we never be ashamed. May we live our faith in Christ so the whole world knows they're loved. Amen.